This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two, rolling along. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and you better enjoy it because it's the last one for a while. Ron taking a nice long summer break. So enjoy what is about to happen, and we'll get into the Minnesota Vikings a bit. Under a new head coach, everyone is always a little excited about the Vikings. The Vikings are one of those teams that every single time I've done a preview, at least over the last 4 or 5 years, there's always this optimism that the Vikings will do well. The Vikings can win 12 games. They could be a force here, force there. Yeah, and then they'll make the playoffs or whatever, but they never make an impact. They're never the team to beat. They never really emerge from the way people see them in this offseason. People will see teams, I don't think they'll be as good, and then they're good. Or I think they'll be good and they'll be bad. The Vikings kind of hover around mediocrity. You think they should be good on paper. They're not terrible, but you know what? They're not great either. They're definitely beatable. And I think this year is just, there's some new things, but there's some things that we've got to discuss about the where this team's going. Defensive-minded guy in Mike Zimmer. He is out. Offensive guy is now in as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. But they still have some same issues. So we'll talk about them coming up and their presence in a weak division. Because, I mean, look at the Bears and look at the Lions. And those two teams should still be building up rather than being up. And the Green Bay Packers, who own the division right now. You know, it's so funny. Every single time I think about Aaron Rodgers nowadays, I think about everybody flipping out that he wanted out of Green Bay and tying him to the Denver Broncos. And a lot of it is because of a lot of my friends who are from Colorado and Denver sort of drank that Kool-Aid and couldn't wait for Aaron Rodgers to be a Denver Bronco. But I kept thinking to myself, Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. And if the goal is to win championships, you've got to get to the playoffs. And why not just stay where you're at and run through this not great division rather than go into a very tough division? Even though iron sharpens iron, why would you want to mess around with some variables like Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr and the Raiders and Justin Herbert and the Chargers when you could be rolling through two teams who are kind of rebuilding and a team that never lives up to its promise whatsoever? All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next, and we'll get a little bit into the Vikings. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and again, enjoy this good, the bad, and the dumb. It's going to be off for a while. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a... idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, we'll miss this when you're gone on vacation, Ron. You'll have a lot of time to absorb the good, the bad, and the dumb on your trips. And you'll come back with a whole bunch of them. But here it is. Before you leave, the good, the bad, and the dumb. What is the good of the day?
Good of the day. It was unveiled. I don't know if it was last Thursday or Friday. We didn't talk about it. But the Rams Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, look at that.
There are so many, I guess, lack for a better word, Easter eggs. It's like they have an entire replica of their stadium inside this ring.
I know. It's
these ridiculous.
Are getting ridiculous. Everyone is, the egos of these teams is getting to a point where what are these rings going to look like 10 years from now? It's getting ridiculous.
It may not even be a ring. It may be just like you put this like little band and then a hologram pops up.
Like find, are they going to give out rings that have like kryptonite on them or something? Like a rare, can't find it anywhere mineral?
Well,
instead of diamonds?
Let's be honest. I mean, it's going to have to change because if we keep having rings like this, we're going to run out of diamonds, aren't we?
Right. Well, I have a question about that. I heard, and I have no idea, I don't know the diamond industry. I heard the diamond industry, this might be a conspiracy theory. I heard the diamond industry is controlled by a select group of people, like a select group of organizations, and that there are many, 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 many diamonds, but they treat them as they're rare, but they are as plentiful as they come.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they're very controlled, extremely controlled, but you can find diamonds in a lot of places, but there's a cartel, if you will. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I kind of found it interesting because it feels like the diamond industry is so persuasive, right? I mean, it's like, guys, your sweetheart, she really won't love you unless you give her this.
Yep.
Right? No matter what you are, no matter how you are, no matter how you treat her, it better have a diamond attached to it, or that's it. It's over, you know, because the other guy is ready to give her one. So you better give her one. But yeah, I mean, all of these rings are just loaded with diamonds. I mean, loaded with diamonds.
If you haven't seen this ring, do yourself a favor, take a look at it. It is spectacular. The top part of the ring comes off to reveal the stadium, the Rams stadium on the inside, which is, you know, where they won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
It is complete, even if you look through the side of the ring, because you know how, like, it's not really a dome stadium in Southern California.
Right, right.
It's technically not a dome stadium, even though it has a roof. But this ring mirrors that as well, where you can kind of look through the side. And they have that scoreboard hanging inside the ring. I'm just curious how easy is it to lose that top part of that ring?
I know. That's right.
That thing just pops off your toast, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is that worth half the ring or more than half? I don't know.
It's really wild. It's amazing looking. Yeah, it's really, really, really gorgeous.
I mean, the Braves had one that lit up on the inside?
Yeah, right? Exactly. But again, I don't know how this, like, down the road, what do you do with these?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, how much can you do with a ring? Like, how much can you do before you go, that's it.
That's
like,
too much.
It's too much. We can't do it anymore.
I mean, first of all, I know I could never wear this ring because it would cover like half my hand. I don't have football player hands. Yeah.
Do guys wear it out in public? Like when Matt Stafford and his wife go out to dinner, does he just throw it on, or is it like, no, it's for the case, it's for the trophy case? Or does he go, oh honey, we're going to going out to dinner tonight at Le Cirque? And slides the ring on. Is that what they do?
Because she's putting her jewelry on, and he's like, "Yeah, you know what? Tonight I feel festive.
I feel festive. I think I'll go this." Like, does Brady choose? Like when Giselle and him go out, does he go? Oh, yeah. Super Bowl 39. Boom! I'll throw that on. Why not? Haven't used this week. I love it. But again, there's going to be some point where the ring makers are going, what do you want? What do you want now? There's got to be a limit. We can't, you know. Why don't we just make them statues of diamonds next? Forget rings.
Are they going to? You look back. It's kind of funny because when you go to the Super Bowl, and I know you were there, and you take in the NFL experience.
Yeah.
They have a showcase of what the old rings look like.
Right.
And they're nothing. I mean, I mean, it's a little bit bigger than a gold band, obviously, but. I mean, very extremely modest.
Exactly.
And now you have this one that's just diamond encrusted, and you know and they always play on the number, like the amount of diamonds means something. I don't know.
I can't wait till Pawn Stars 2028.
Yep.
When somebody goes, "What do you got for me today?" I got a Rams Super Bowl ring that I got through an auction, and then Rick takes a look at it and he's like, "Well, I can tell you right now, it's fake." Because the Rams ring had an inscription of the scoreboard on the inside. Yours just doesn't have that.
Yours
is missing. And all of the Rams players had that logo. And then he cuts to the camera and he goes, "The Rams won the Super Bowl after acquiring Matt Stafford from the Detroit Lions and a number of players where they gave up draft picks for players that could help them win now. They play it in an unbelievable stadium, and that was replicated inside the ring." And then the guy's disappointed because he thought he was going to pay for his kid's college education with it. And he walks out and he goes, "Well, you win some, you lose some." And then they go on to the next person.
Or he got the ring, but it's a... it's like one of the rings you hand out to
right.
a secretary.
Exactly.
They don't really have all the diamonds.
Exactly. You don't really quite. It's not like it's Aaron Donald's ring.
Maybe there's a few diamonds on there, but most of it's cubic zirconia.
Right. Exactly. All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. While one of their all-time greats was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, Tony.
Yeah.
The Red Sox did the rare and gave up. Hold on. By the way, you want to know what another thing that's bad? Our mouse broke. on the computer that I need to.
That's
so it's actually further away. So I actually have to kind of slide all the way over to my right. I mean, first world problems, right?
Oh yeah.
But anyway,
still a problem.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox, I don't know if you saw this, gave up inside the park grand slam.
That was one of the wildest plays I've seen in a long time.
Before you talk about it, let's listen to it.
3.44 ERA and now his 35th outing. First pitch swinging, left on left, and Raimel Tapia soars it to center. Jaren Duran trying to locate it, and it lands back on the warning track.
Oh, boy.
Gurriel and Espinal score. Jansen in as well. Tapia to the plate, and it is a grand slam inside the park from Raimel Tapia. Wow.
So not only have they been giving up, did they give up an inside the park home run? They went on to lose that particular game 28-5.
It was awful. The outfielder, who I can't remember now,
he's not playing long, right?
Yeah, he just gave up.
He didn't even run to it.
He didn't even run to it. He gave up.
So
he didn't even make an effort. Even though there was another outfielder that was going after the ball, he still didn't show any desire to go get that either.
So they are in the middle of probably their worst stretch of games ever, Tony. In their last five games, all five losses, they last won a game on July 15th.
Yep.
Their last five games, they have a run differential of minus 54.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Yankees put up double digits in their games before the All-Star break in the final two games of that series. And then they opened up the second half losing 28-5.
Yep.
Good Lord.
28-5.
I mean, unbelievable. It's amazing how bad they look right now, but they're
But still, I mean, it's not even that. I mean, yeah, it's how bad they look. You can see this other video. I think it happened yesterday where balls hit to the first baseman. First baseman scoops it up. He throws it over to the pitcher to step on first. Not only does the pitcher miss the bag, but he also falls on his tuchus.
Yeah, exactly. Can anybody play this game?
I mean, it is,
it's terrible.
And the only way to see that video now is to the Benny Hill soundtrack. So, yeah. I mean, it just makes sense.
Oh, he's going to run around the bases. He's going to make it home. Oh, boy, this is going to be delicious.
But that grand slam, that was horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible
Absolutely
to see.
It's amazing.
It amazed me that guy, because you saw him get out of the box after he hit. Because I can't remember who hit it either. Got out of the box. He was mad because he's, it was like bases are loaded and he popped it up. And
yeah,
like you can see that he's not going to run hard to first base.
Right. And then you start realizing, look at that.
Yeah. He dropped it and then he just turned on the afterburners and God.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day. I'm sorry. I had to do this. I got to go to Devonte Adams.
All right, Devonte Adams, because I know what he's talking about.
He was recently asked about the adjustment going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, and he said there's always a need of adjustments when going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer.
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they're close, right? They're good friends, Derek Carr and Devonte.
Yeah, well, they were teammates together
in Fresno
State.
They were good friends. So, I think he was... You know what it reminds me of? It was just recent. Remember when Taylor Gooch won the live event and said, this is like a Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
And everyone went, dude, slow down. You've never even played in the Ryder Cup. Like, he just got overexcited about partnering up with his teammate and friend that he just compared him to one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like, because you say Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, Derek Carr is obviously not in the Hall of Fame yet, and may or may not go. The getting in is tough. He's got to win a couple Super Bowls. But
if he wins one, he's tied with Aaron.
I was just going to say, if he wins one, I mean, because I'm trying to think about the degrees, right? Like, there's in the Hall of Fame, there's Babe Ruth, and then there's, like, some guys that barely got in but got in. They're not the same, but in the Hall of Fame, they're both Hall of Famers. So in that, they're equal, but they're not the same player.
But he's got to sniff
He's got to get to win a Super Bowl. We will give Eli Manning the Hall of Fame with two Super Bowl rings.
Right.
People are like, nope, I don't want to see him in there. I don't think he deserves to be in there. Derek Carr ain't getting in there without without multiple Super Bowls.
Well,
no
I mean,
way.
Has he had a... I'm trying to think if he's had a playoff win.
Yeah, he hasn't had the level. Like, even like Aaron Rodgers is going to get away with. Like, if Aaron Rodgers never wins another one,
he's in.
Aaron Rodgers is in by a mile. He's got all the numbers. He's got the records. He looks like a Hall of Famer. He's played like a Hall of Famer.
Five MVP or six
There's
MVP
no
awards.
There's no question about it. Like, the Super Bowls is irrelevant in the conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Derek Carr, he's got to win three or something. I mean, he's not on the level of lighting up the scoreboard, lighting up the record book, all of those things that Aaron Rodgers has done. Because Aaron Rodgers, you can sort of forgive the lack of multiple rings if that's where his career
well,
ends.
It, you know, becomes a Dan Marino situation.
Right, Dan Marino situation, right? Yeah. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, but didn't matter.
One of
Aaron
the greatest
Rodgers
quarterbacks
is in the
ever.
Same boat, right? Brett Favre only won one, right? Same kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, again, with Eli Manning, he's got two, but it's not good enough for people. What the heck do you think Derek Carr's career is going to be like if he never gets near the game, right? No way. No way. So slow down on your buddy, man.
I mean, but
slow
I understand where he's coming from because, you know, it was probably a mistake for him to go Hall of Famer, to say the first part.
Right.
Because then what do you say? Yeah, that's an adjustment going from Hall of Famer to that guy.
Right. That's
you can't say that.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That's probably what happened.
He probably went Hall of Famer shoots to Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Exactly. That's probably what happened.
He'll be in Fresno State's Hall of Fame.
You started off by saying Hall of Famer, and now your brain is frantically trying to fill in an adjective to describe your friend and former teammate, former teammate and current teammate, like your friend, a guy you've known a long time.
You don't want to put down and start
Hall
a controversy.
Of Famer is like your brain is only giving you that. And you go, all right, what the hell?
And you know, honestly, what's the word? I mean, how much worse would it have been if you went, you know, it's an adjustment to go from Hall of Famer to, you know, a pretty good quarterback in Derek Carr.
Right.
He would have been, you know, it's like, oh, there's tension in the Raiders locker room.
Right, exactly. He should have just, if he was smart, adjustment to go from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr or whatever. But even then, it's not even a conversation you should be having.
Like, no.
Just try to avoid it altogether. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, enjoy it because you ain't coming back till when? When is your date? August 8th?
Yeah,
August 8th. So enjoy it 2 weeks from now. You will have another good, the bad, and the dumb, people.
Yeah. And hopefully it's a good, the bad, the dumb.
Yeah, you better be well rested.
I better be bringing it. Is basically what you're saying.
Basically, like 2 weeks of being able to, like, you'll be able to go around and be able.
You know what's
going to
happen? I'm going to come back with three fun stories that I think are awesome, and you're going to be like, oh, "Wrong, we covered that one.
We covered that one. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, right, we did that. It was a great story.
Good, the bad, and the dumb. You know what? I seriously am going to miss it. It's brought to you by Verizon with their newest unlimited plan. Everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. So we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Michael, it's not really a conspiracy theory. De Beers in London owns and controls around 75 to 85% of the world market diamonds. They do have a stockpile and release a certain amount every year, but they don't have the massive number that people think. See, Michael seems to know this kind of stuff. Sometimes I think I throw this out there and subconsciously hoping Michael will set us straight on these answers. Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine when people say like, oh, there's so many diamonds, everyone in the world could have, like, I don't believe that, but I don't think they're as rare as people indicate. So, but yeah, I can see where Why wouldn't you control that market if you could?
Yeah, if you can.
If you can, why not? But, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of corruption and...
Well, yeah, wasn't that's what that Leo movie was about?
Yeah, Blood Diamond.
Blood Diamond.
People dying, getting these diamonds. I'm sure there's a lot of that, but still. But, yeah, no, there's... I kind of figured that it was kind of real, but not as real as people want to make it out to be. They're like, oh, yeah, diamonds are as plentiful as sand. Not really, but still, nevertheless. Thank you, Michael, for correcting us.
To your point, what's the next stone going to be?
What's the next thing?
Is it going to be like the precious gem that's in Avatar? Remember?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Thing? Yeah. Where they went to the planet to go get it. Yeah. Right. That's the big question. Is these rings get so more and more advanced, and I mean, there's only so much you can do, right? Before you reach a point where you're like. All right, now in every ring, again, we're going to put some asteroid chemical, you know, an asteroid mineral that's right. Not even on this earth on this thing. I don't know what else there is. Like, how much more can you do with a ring? But everybody wants it to be better than the next ring, the previous ring that was made, and I don't know where it ends.
And even going out against sports.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Braves were the first one I saw that had a stadium inside.
Right,
and they had real working LED lights, and the Rams were like, "Well, we can top that.
We can do that.
We're going to include not only our stadium, but look at the scoreboard, and it's going to be see-through. So if you look out through the side of the ring, you can see the stadium inside."
And I also think you get a combination of billionaire owners who are so proud of winning a championship. They're like, "I don't care what it costs. It doesn't matter to me. Make them as gaudy as they can be." Like. That's what I would do if I was a billionaire and I won a championship. I'd be like, find me the greatest ring designers in the world and bring them here first class, and then just have them all sit in a room and be like, one of you come up with the greatest design. The only reason I own this thing is to win championships, and I did. So make it so that this is the most memorable thing I have. Make it quote unquote the most valuable thing I have, meaning emotionally valuable. Like, when I look at it, I go, that's something money couldn't buy. The ring I could buy, but the fact that we won the championship is a thing I was able to just, we worked hard to get, not I just purchased. Right? Like that, because that's a big deal to a lot of these owners. Like, you see pictures of Mark Cuban hugging the Larry O'Brien trophy. I always bring this up, but it's the perfect embodiment of why guys own sports teams. It's not for put it in the portfolio. You know, again, the Braves are owned by Liberty Media. That's probably that's more of an acquisition thing. Like, it's a business thing. They're a public company. But for individual people, individual billionaires, they own these teams, and they can't buy the Larry O'Brien. They can't buy a moment of joy on their plane hugging the Larry O'Brien trophy. They can't. They have to earn it. They have to work for it. They have to sweat for it. They have to pray for it. They have to agonize over it. They have to be disappointed in the pursuit sometimes of it. But then when they get it, that's it's pure elation. It's pure celebration. And oh, by the way, I have all the money in the world. Like, those two things come together to create these unbelievable rings, because you've got, again, these owners that want to capture this moment in a way that nothing else, they can't capture anything else. They can't. You know, like, you could buy a ski resort and not have as much joy as when your sports team that you bought wins a championship. You could buy a planet, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. You could buy your own island, right? Maybe a planet. You could buy your own island, but it won't give you the joy of earning a championship through a way that money can't buy. But money certainly can show
it off. Money can buy it. You just got to spend it wisely.
You got to spend it wisely. You got to put it together wisely. But even when you do that, you're still not guaranteed. You run the risk of, like, being an owner that overspent or whatever, you know, on players that didn't work out or whatever. So, yeah, if you're an owner and you've got billions and you're feeling an unbelievable pride and joy that your team is a champion, you go, make it the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. Put an LED light in it. Make it look like my stadium. Put so much detail in it, it'll make everybody's head spin, because I can afford it. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Coming up, I want to get into the NASCAR story that happened over the weekend. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. For the first time since 1960, NASCAR had to do something that really shook a lot of people. But I'll talk about that coming up, as well as getting more into the Minnesota Vikings. That's the team we're previewing today. They're under a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell. This is the 10th coach in franchise history. Got a new GM as well. We'll talk about that next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Chris Thomason's going to join us, St. Paul Pioneer Press, coming up in next hour, 1 hour from now, to preview the Minnesota Vikings NFC North this week. I'm sorry you're going to be gone for the Dan Campbell Detroit Lions preview later this week. We got a lot of questions to ask about that guy and that team coming up this week. But the Minnesota Vikings are same thing under question as well. They went 8-9 last year.
And well, don't you also feel like you don't know who they are?
The Vikings?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vikings are a weird team. They're like, there's so much to like about the team, right? Like going in every year with Mike Zimmer, it was like, well, Zimmer's a defensive guy, right? He's a smart defensive guy, so they should be really good defensively. And if Kirk Cousins plays well, he's got Dalvin Cook. There's some weapons there that are pretty good. Okay, I could see them making a run for a wild card. They're pretty good. And then they're not as great, right? Like, they're just – there's something. They got Adam Thielen. They got Justin Jefferson, right? There's so many things to like about them. But then they just have kind of a mediocre season. They're not – one of the best teams in the NFC, and they put themselves in the position where a game or two they're removed from the playoffs, or they barely get into the playoffs, or what? It's just a bizarre team, because I feel like they haven't really lived up to their potential a lot of years. And I've done these previews every single year, and I feel like the Vikings are the team that I kind of go, all right, they should be pretty good. They should give Green Bay a run, and they don't really give Green Bay a run. They're good enough to be in the conversation, but then they're not good enough to be one of the elite teams in the conference. So we'll see if Kevin O'Connell is the guy now after taking over for his Zimmer was a negative guy anyway, and he didn't really rub well with the team. He didn't really a lot of the players didn't really like playing for Mike Zimmer.
And don't you get the feeling too he overstayed his welcome?
I think he did. I think he absolutely did. I think there were a
like
lot
the owner
of people
just kept saying
him.
Like, "Oh, let's just do one more season and see what happens."
Exactly. Like in all accounts, he probably should have been gone a couple of years ago, but he kind of hung around a little bit. But here's the other thing too, and this is getting pointed out a lot by people. Like, you know, people really are watching where the trends are in this league. Is that you are going from. God, remember when you have a Brian Flores or you'd have a Romeo Crennel or somebody like that that really are defensive minded and they get these head coaching jobs. And now it's now leaning towards young offensive coordinators, guys who are really getting their feet wet in this business on the offensive side of the ball rather than the defensive side of the ball. And it's not that defenses don't win championships anymore or anything like that. I think that new offensive coordinators – because they come into this league and you can spark up the thing that sells tickets, right? The things that sell enthusiasm. And those guys are going to they get looked at more in terms of head coaching jobs. It's not that they're better candidates. I mean, Sean McDermott is a defensive guy, for example, right? But Nathaniel Hackett was going to replaces Vic Fangio. I can remember when Vic Fangio got hired and everybody went, oh, this is great. Here's a guy who's paid his dues. He's earned this right. If there's one defensive guy in this game, it's Vic Fangio. And look at the Broncos. They won the Super Bowl on defense. If they can get back to that level of defense, they'll be back at it again. Well, he didn't get them to the playoffs. And so who do they bring in? They scrap that philosophy. They bring in Nathaniel Hackett. It's the same thing here with the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Zimmer is one of the more respected defensive minds in the game. I don't think he was a player's coach by any means, but he's one of the more respected defensive minds in the game. Out goes him. Here comes Kevin O'Connell. Right. Same thing with Mike McDonald down in Miami. They did the same thing. Brian Flores, brilliant defensive mind. Bye-bye. Here comes a new offensive guy. Right. And that's where this league is heading right now. And it's going to continue to be like that. I mean, is it the Sean McDermott effect? Possibly. But Bill Belichick is one of the greatest defensive coaches in the history of the game, if not the greatest defensive mind in the history of the game. And yet people don't see that and go, that's what we need. We need a guy like him. We need a guy that's very defensive oriented, and that's how we're going to win championships here. Right? Brian Daboll, New York Giants head coach, right? Of course, fits right in to exactly what they're doing. I think Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, I think Nick Sirianni was an offensive-minded coach, right? That's where this league is heading. And Kevin O'Connell is going to be an offensive-minded guy on a team that has been led by a defensive-minded guy for many years. All right, I want to get into NASCAR real quick. I don't talk a lot about NASCAR, but we do get Jeff Hammond on every now and then for the bigger races, and I'm certainly that we will when we get to the fall and the playoffs. But yesterday at Pocono, Denny Hamlin won the race, and Kyle Busch came in second. And for the first time since 1960, NASCAR had to strip away the first and second place finishes for both of those drivers because they were cheating. Chase Elliott, who finished third and had a car that never led a lap in the race, has been declared the winner at Pocono. It's, you know what? Here's, in every single sport, what do we talk about all the time? About sports and instant replay, for example. We don't want it, right? Why don't we want it? We don't want it because we do not want the Super Bowl champion to be stripped of their Super Bowl if we find out the game-winning kick, a player was offsides and the referees missed it, right? We don't want that. We don't want to go back in time in baseball and go, he actually was safe, and therefore so-and-so should have won the game instead of he was out and the game was over. The game should then have been tied. We don't want to do that. We'll do it theoretically as fans, but we can't have any action. Remember the pass interference call? We were like, should they replay the game? Should the Saints be in the Super Bowl? Remember, there was a lawsuit. There was a crazy New Orleans attorney that filed a lawsuit. It's like, what do you want them to do? Officials that are on the field have to rule the way they see it. And if they miss it, they miss it. And if in the end there's something tainted about a result, we just have to live with it. It's part of the sports lore. But then there are other sports where there are rules, and there are rules that are enacted after the conclusion of the event. For example, golf. Every golfer has to sign their scorecard. The scorecard is kept by the playing opponent, so the playing partner, if you will. So if Ron and I are playing in a PGA Tour event, I am keeping his score, he is keeping my score. It is my job at the end of my round to account for all of the scoring on the paper. If Ron gives me a 4 and I really made a 5, I signed an incorrect scorecard and I'm disqualified. If Ron gives me a 5 and I really made a 4, I signed a scorecard and that has to stand. Roberto DiVincenzo lost the Masters because of this. He signed an incorrect scorecard that kept him out of a playoff. But NASCAR is different. NASCAR can't do that. It can't be another sport. Whereas other sports have officials, and when the clock strikes 0 or the ninth, the last out of the inning comes through and the game's over and you don't go back in time. But in NASCAR, every car has to be inspected. So when the fans who buy tickets for the race and they go, and congratulations, Denny Hamlin, he won the All Oil 400. Yeehaw! And everybody jumps and screams and hollers and jumps up and down. And everybody's on the podium and they go, oh, thank you to my crew. I want to thank all our sponsors. All Oil, you're great. I want to thank all these people. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Always tough to win at Pocono. I'm so glad. That's not over. That's not over. That's not the fat lady singing. That's not over. NASCAR has to look at all the cars, and they inspect all the cars. And 99.999999 times, nothing changes. Every now and then, they go, hey, you finished 10th. You got something going on here with a little bit of weight. We don't really like it. But for the most part, it's a fine. It's a crew chief suspension. It's not something major. They go, don't worry about it. But in this case, there was enough problems with the Toyotas of Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin that NASCAR went, you didn't win the race. And oh, by the way, you didn't come in second either. So they awarded to Chase Elliott. Again, much like a Little League baseball team at a Denny's being told they're the world champions because the team that won the world championship had a pitcher that was 32 years old. Very similar to that. And that's what happened in NASCAR. NASCAR went, nope, you didn't win, and you didn't win either. And it was the first time since 1960 that they've had a disqualification out the Cup Series for a race winner. They've had disqualifications before middle of the field, but never for a race winner. People left thinking Denny Hamlin had won the race. People found out later that Chase Elliott had won the race. And they believe that the last time was 1960. They probably would know that, but they said it, you know, they're not 100% sure, but that a winner. Now, penalties can be appealed. The Toyotas are going to the Research and Development Center in North Carolina for further evaluation. So there could be an appeal that rules in favor, and these wins are given back to Denny Hamlin and a second place finish for Kyle Busch, but highly unlikely. I'll just tell you right now, highly unlikely. These organizations don't like to mess this up, right? There's a post-race inspection for a reason. If you fail that post-race inspection, very, 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 very slim chance that they're going to reverse that. It has to be somebody made a mistake in the inspection. They're pretty standard inspections. I can remember going to a couple of NASCAR events in my early career and just seeing the cars lined up and the measurements and all of that. But most cars pass with flying colors because they're all in engineering teams that can't afford to cheat anymore. It used to be you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But now they're really checking for a lot of things. Stuff that they didn't know about, now they know everything. They know every trick in the book, right? So they're like the bank that hires the thief to try to break into the safe. It's like, we have spent $62 million on an advanced security system that nobody will be able to penetrate our vault. But we've hired some of the best cat burglars out there to try to penetrate this vault and steal all the gold. And then they try, and then they go, yeah, here's the deal. That camera's not on the right angle, and that was really accessible through a simple keypad override system that I had here. Very, very easy to do that. Also, you need this, this, and this inside the vault. You need sensors over here and here. And then they go, great, thanks for your help. Same thing. They have cheaters in NASCAR working with NASCAR going, yeah, a piece of lead over here, this little thing, you can put some tape right here and it knocks this down, and you can increase the aerodynamics by just adjusting this a little bit. So they know all the tricks and they check every single car. But just fascinating. I mean, it's not the biggest race on the calendar. It's not like it was a playoff race that would advance that advanced Chase Elliott into the next round with the victory. It was his fourth win of the season. But it does go to show you that every now and then something like this happens. Or I should say, every now and then in 62 years, something like this happens. All right, it's Tony D. It's Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Coming up next hour, I do want to get into one story. Ron, I tweeted you this from Pro Football Talk about Stephen Ross and the Dolphins over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's a question we're not getting any answers to. What exactly is happening with the Stephen Ross tanking for money investigation?
What are you talking about, Tony? That's over there. We're not paying attention to what's over there.
Nobody has any information on this. Nobody is. 6 months ago, we got hit with the revelation that Stephen Ross was paying, that Brian Flores allegedly said was going to pay him $100,000 for every game he lost on purpose, to tank on purpose. I remember at the time we said, this is the biggest story in the NFL right now. This is a big, big deal. If you have owners actively losing games on purpose, wanting to lose games on purpose, the league is a real problem. He's got to go. You have to take the team away from him. You have to. That goes against everything that sports is about. It affects the gambling partnerships that you have. It ruins the public trust that you have as an organization, that you will put out an effort every single time and give your fans a fighting chance to see a victory, even if it's your third of the year, second of the year. It's been a long season, that you always give your fans an opportunity to see the very best that you have to offer. It goes against everything. It goes against the competitive balance. We said the Dolphins could lose games on purpose to teams that could affect the playoffs unfairly for other teams that are trying to make the playoffs. There are so many things that are wrong with the idea of Stephen Ross paying $100,000 to lose games on purpose. Did he do it? Don't know. Did he not do it? Don't know. Why not? Because the investigation doesn't seem to be going on at all. There doesn't seem to be anything going on about this. There's no new information. It doesn't seem that difficult to me to find. How long would this take? Now, again, an NFL investigation is not a police investigation. They don't have subpoena power. So, you know, it's not the court of law. Well, so if you're an executive and they come to your house and, hi, we're the NFL, we want to talk to you, you can go, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Do you think Brian Flores being hired by the Steelers has anything to do with, like, oh, let's just forget about the whole thing?
That's a good question. It's like, okay, Brian, listen, we got you back into this league. You're suing the league, but we got you back into this league.
I mean, is he still suing the league?
I don't know. Is he? That's a great question.
It is bizarre. I mean, it almost feels like it's a Mandela effect. Like, you know, like all of a sudden it's just going to come out to us or somebody's going to tweet at us. It'll probably be Michael tweet at us.
Right.
Go, Tony, Ron, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
Brian Flores isn't suing the NFL. That never happened.
That never happened.
It was going to happen.
I swear to God it was a story. I swear. Because I remember when Brian Flores got fired, I went, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Look at what this guy has done since he got to Miami.
When you said that, I just laughed because it is probably one of the bigger stories of this NFL offseason that has just got swept under the rug, and we are meant to forget about it. Because now the only talk about the Dolphins is, can Tua do it?
Would you want, if you're the league, would you want this story anywhere near the headlines? You would be like, we are keeping, like, even if there is an investigation, it better be the quietest investigation you could possibly put out.
Because if you open that up, then you got to look at other teams that, you know, finish in the bottom five year
public
after year
trust.
After year.
You cannot get back public trust if you break it as a business. It's so difficult, right? Players can do drugs and you can suspend those players, but the moment you lose the idea that these are square matches, all hell breaks loose.